Ultimately, the medical investigation, the panel investigation into this, the Section 59 concerns with respect to poor behavior amongst medical schemes was the area of concern. Timbega, thanks so much for joining us. I imagine the morning has been very busy.
Yeah.
Oops. Good morning. I beg your pardon, Timbega?
I'm saying just like the afternoon yesterday.
Yes, indeed. I imagine so. We had obviously tried to have this conversation a little bit earlier in the week, but you correctly preferred to wait for the interdict to be thrown out with respect to blocking you from making the representations and the findings of this report public. We've been trying to sort of give the listeners a really great perspective of your key findings with respect to Black, Coloured and Indian health professionals really being discriminated against despite denials from the likes of Discovery and GEMS. GEMS has released a statement since the release of your report. Would you like to take us through your key issues in terms of your findings?
Yes. If we focus just on two, which were the most important, there are a number of other subtopics in the report. Firstly, do the schemes unfairly discriminate on the grounds of race when they implement their powers under Section 59 of the Medical Schemes Act? That's question one. Second question, are the procedures followed by the schemes fair or unfair, irrespective of race? On the first question, what we find is that although we cannot establish any intention to discriminate, what we find is that the outcomes are unfairly discriminatory because the impact of those outcomes on Black practitioners is vastly distinguishable from the impact on white practitioners. We go through the industry as a whole in relation to the data that we've collected over a period of 6 years, 2012 to 2019. We also go through disciplines, something like 6 or 7 disciplines. We also go through vast amounts of data, which is literally in the thousands of names that we've gone through. And we've used surnames as proxy for race, which has proven to be 98% accurate. We find is when a scheme decides who must be investigated for fraud, waste, and abuse, there is a distinction based on race. When a scheme implements the investigative procedures, and when the scheme looks at recovery of funds that have been paid to a medical practitioner, there tends to be a discrimination on the grounds of race. But this is largely a function of outcomes. Once you have outcomes that are so disproportionate, there is a duty in law on the party against whom the allegation is made to rebut. The schemes have not been able to place any cogent evidence to rebut the presumption of unfairness. And that's why we've come to the clear, overwhelming conclusion that there is racial discrimination perpetrated against medical practitioners.
And in many cases, no opportunity, for a representation to be made by that practitioner. The numbers are staggering, Timbega. Even where one, as much as racism is absolute, even where one looks at the less racist or the less discriminatory spaces with Discovery, it's 35% more likely to identify Black providers as having committed fraud, waste, and abuse. And in the worst cases, 1.4 times more likely. You mentioned that you looked into various disciplines. Where is this kind of discrimination most prevalent? In which disciplines is it most prevalent?
It's disciplines like dietitians, disciplines like physiotherapists, disciplines like social workers, disciplines like psychologists, and generally GPs. General practitioners, they tell us surprised at the extent to which they are isolated and wholly dependent on schemes, particularly those that are in outlying areas. We had a doctor from the Eastern Cape who came together with a patient and who said when I was shut off from claiming from the scheme, in other words, blacklisted, my patients didn't know where to go because there was no doctor nearby.
We
had doctors from Limpopo, some of whom said my marriage crumbled because 90% of my income was taken away. Another one said my colleague committed suicide.
Oh my God.
So general practitioners, one may take the view that GPs are well off because medicine is a respected profession. But these are highly isolated, vulnerable individuals.
Very much so. And it's true. I mean, the question I was going to ask you about was whether there was any geographic bias, but you're so right about the impact in very far-reaching areas. One of the remedies that you have that you're seeking is that these doctors, while one can never, repay or fix what they've described as degrading, humiliating, and distressing treatment, you've definitely advocated for repayment from these schemes.
Yes. If you can show, I mean, obviously, there is no payment that would come from our report because our report was systemic and structural. But if you can show individually that the deductions against you personally were unfair, and you can establish that quite clearly before the Council for Medical Schemes, we recommend that the Council for Medical Schemes should look into ordering a restitution. Mm. But that is in relation to an individual claim. So once the report can be used as baseline for individual claims. But also, if you can show that there has been unfair discrimination in relation to your specific case, and we were not looking at individual cases.
Correct.
We were looking at these individual cases for the larger structural question of the systemic nature of racism within the industry.
Sorry, Tembega, to interrupt. Is there any sanction that is being sought by the Council of Medical Schemes?
We don't know what the Council for Medical Schemes is going to do. We gave them our report on the 4th of December in 2020. Mm. And they have not told us what they're going to do, because we've also made findings and recommendations in relation to them. In other words, they themselves have failed to perform their statutory function.
Right.
Because the necessity of our investigation to perform essentially work that is assigned by the statute to the CMS illustrates a structural deficiency on the regulatory side of the Council for Medical Schemes.
Is this going to be like so many other sectors in South Africa, where there's going to constantly need to be that kind of oversight of not only the participants, but of the regulator, I guess, because money and scale and power balance is ill-placed?
Yes, there are. I mean, this is a very good question.
Yeah.
One of the witnesses that came before the panel was the Competition Commission, which was able to give evidence on the power imbalance. In other words, the sheer growth of the schemes over the past 20 years means that for the most part, administrators, firstly, have got more power than the schemes, but schemes combined with administrators have more power than the regulator. And when schemes combined with administrators deal with individual practitioners, that power asymmetry just quadruples. So which means that on the regulatory side, the state needs to up its capacity so that it can match the sheer growth of the commercial power of the schemes, because the regulation in law, if it is not matched by resources, is an illusion. So, which means that most of the reconstructive work must take place inside the schemes. In other words, the schemes must undertake voluntary changes.
Which in this country, you know, doesn't happen.
Well, you know, that is somewhat unfair, at least in relation to this particular investigation.
Say why.
If you look at the distinctions among the schemes, you mentioned Discovery as the least likely to discriminate at 35%. That is still objectionable. But the evidence that came before us was that, firstly, Discovery was more open to outside criticism.
Okay.
They were able to show us their algorithms, which other schemes were refusing to share with us. And they were able to reflect an awareness of their social setting and able to take outside criticism. I mean, Dr. Broomberg was, in fact, most open in his evidence before our panel about what Discovery tries to do on a regular basis to self-reflect. Although we've been critical of them, and we've not spared them, despite the evidence of Dr. Broomberg. But it is promising that by the time we finished the last hearing, which was in February 2020. Those numbers were declining at Discovery to the point where they were being 1:1, which means that, in fact, it was becoming less likely for Discovery to discriminate. So there is internal reconstructive work that is happening as a consequence of self-reflection, and of course, because there is a spotlight shown on the conduct. So the publicity that comes with it and the spotlight that we bring into it should make those schemes to reflect internally. Even though GEMS brought an ill-fated application,
yes.
When they gave evidence, and I put to them the question, I mean, beyond the denial, because you can hear everyone deny, 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 that racist me, no, never. Beyond that denial, are they in fact interested in undertaking internal examination of
reflection.
Their processes?
Yes.
Chairperson of GEMS, in fact, admitted that and said that they will undertake that process. But you are right in one thing, that where there is money, one cannot depend entirely on the goodwill of the private sector. It needs a bit of policy.
Quite right. This introduces a fresh systemic issue within our medical fraternity. I'm sure in our discussions with our team, Timbeka, we'll be obviously giving greater scrutiny to the healthcare industry at our Big Breakfast broadcast toward the end of the month, and we'd be eager to hear your perspectives on the more systemic perspectives that we need to undertake to dismantle. Thank you so much for this insight on this investigation. Timbeka Ndlugaitobi is the advocate who led the investigation into this discrimination amongst medical schemes. Thank you so much.